I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. We're staying across the situation in Puerto Rico following Hurricane Maria. We hear from people on the island that things are dire. Some even see a humanitarian disaster in the making. And we're also hearing complaints that Washington isn't moving fast enough to get aid to the island. At a press conference today, Trump dismissed those complaints.
We have had tremendous reviews from government officials, as we have in Texas and Louisiana, and as we have in Florida, as you know, from Governor Scott and Greg Abbott, great governors. And this morning, the governor made incredible statements about how well we're doing. We understand it's a disaster. It's a disaster that just happened. The grid was in bad shape before the storm. And Puerto Rico didn't get hit by one hurricane. Got hit by two hurricanes.
Trump then pressed his case.
We right now have our top people from FEMA, and they have been there. We are unloading on an hourly basis massive loads of water and food and supplies for Puerto Rico. And this isn't like Florida, where we can go right up the spine, or like Texas, where we go right down the middle and we distribute. This is, you know, a thing called the Atlantic Ocean. This is tough stuff.
We'll have more coverage from Puerto Rico in the days ahead. Today, though, we turn to Mexico City, which is also trying to recover from that massive earthquake a week ago. The death toll from the quake in Mexico City and outside the Mexican capital has now surpassed 300 people. What happened a week ago changed the lives of many people in Mexico City and surrounding areas. That includes The World's Monica Campbell, who is based in Mexico City. She was here in our Boston newsroom a week ago when the quake hit and was able to rejoin her husband and baby over the weekend. I know your neighborhood, La Condesa, got hit particularly hard. You and your family and neighbors can't get back in your building. What is the mood like? How are people getting on?
Well, I went back yesterday and, you know, parts of the city are going back to normal. Where I live, it's one of the most hardest hit areas, and you still have rescue efforts going on. You also have this huge outpouring of civilian volunteers helping victims and their families. You have teams of doctors and nurses roaming around taking the blood pressure of residents in the area, people giving massages to people.
Just to deal with stress and anxiety.
Yeah. Like, people will just walk up to some, you know, these kind of crews of nurses and doctors. It's like, can you take my blood pressure?
Wow.
You know, I'm feeling really stressed out. I've lost my home. There's stands set up for people who need counseling. And then I went to my building, and when I walked up, all the neighbors were outside on the sidewalk figuring out what's next. Like, what's going to happen to the building? Is it salvageable? Will it be demolished? And different engineers have come by and done tours of the building, but really nothing has been officially sort of stated or given to the owners of the apartment building. So there's a lot of confusion, and people are leaving the building for good. I mean, for example, in my case, we're leaving. Mm. We're renters. And one family, they didn't have time to wait around. The father, Rico, worked in the building. He was like the maintenance guy. And his wife, Gabby, was a housekeeper in the building and in the neighborhood. And they're moving back to a completely different part of the country. And she told me what kind of worried her most right now. And Gabby was saying what worries her most right now is work. They can't go a week without work. They live week to week. And they're worried that they're not going to have the money to buy like the school supplies for the little girl who's in elementary school and things like that. So huge concern for that family in particular.
And the building, Monica, next to yours, do I have this right? It was severely damaged in the 85 quake, but was still standing and never torn down?
It was never torn down. And I didn't know that it had been so severely damaged in the 85 quake. I thought it was just this like old building. I wasn't even sure if people lived in it or not. All I knew about this building next to ours was that there was an ice cream shop on the bottom floor. Mm. And turns out that it actually had been scheduled to be demolished after 1985. Who knows what happened, but it was still standing. And now they say, okay, we're going to tear this building down. And I talked to the owner of the ice cream shop. His name is Carlos Cruz Licona. And I talked to him about the history of the building.
The history of this building, this was probably made around 1950s, I guess. Several earthquakes have already hurt this building, although they said it was safe, and actually the government permitted people to live here. They only made very small jobs to repair it, but not rebuild it.
And when you rented it, did you ask about that?
Yes. I had to ask permission to the government.
And what did they say? They said, oh.
It was okay.
What would you tell people who might come and want to live here or rent a store here again?
No, definitely no. Not in this area.
So Carlos Cruz Licona, pretty clear that his building is not safe. But this is a determination that's still being made all over the city. Like, how safe is my building? How are people who are not trained in structural engineering going about that?
Right. So when I was at my building, actually, this they're calling brigades, this brigade of civil engineers came by. And it was this woman, she's civil engineer, and somebody apparently in our building had called to have one of these brigades stop by your building if you're worried about it. And so she was there and she took a look at our building. She determined that our building likely needs to be demolished. And she's going around and really helping people answer that question, like, can we go back in the building? Is it safe? And she holds a lot of credibility because she's independent. And there's this idea that, like, she's not getting paid. She's going in there and she's giving people kind of the full read on what she's seeing. And I went with her to a couple of different buildings in the neighborhood.
Yeah, tell us what you saw.
Well, we went into some buildings and they were fine and some weren't so great. And what was interesting, we went into this one building. And it was this old building, about three stories. From the outside, the damage seemed pretty light, just some facade had come off. And we walked in and there was all this construction going on, and that really kind of tipped off this engineer, and her name's Araceli Arenas. And it was really clear to her that this place was being remodeled for new tenants. You know, this is a really desirable neighborhood, so, you know, it makes sense. You're going to remodel these apartments and really charge, you know, high rent to people wanting to live in this neighborhood. So there's an architect in the building, and he got really nervous. And she's, you know, looking, and she's looking at this remodeling. It looks a little shabby. She has to go to the top floor. And we get to the top of the building, and there's all these hundreds of bags of concrete. And all these guys are on the roof, covered in dust, working away really furiously. And it was really clear that the owner of this building was building new apartments on top of this old building. And that's when things got pretty heated.
No hay ningún problema que lo estés haciendo. O sea, no pasa nada.
Entiéndeme una cosa.
No te preocupes.
En este nivel ya estaba construido todo.
So she asked the architect, you know, for his license, a building permit. Where was all the paperwork to do this? Where was all the paperwork to build these new apartments on top of this kind of old building? And she could just see from her trained eye, this was not construction that was solid. And the architect got really nervous. He asked her to leave. He actually tried to grab her phone away from her when she wanted to call in to report it. And it was to the engineer, I suppose, it was really clear. This guy did not want anybody around looking at what he was doing. And for her, it was really disturbing because she saw exactly the type of thing that makes this already earthquake-prone neighborhood more dangerous.
Right.
This time, she called it clandestine construction, the putting new apartments, you're going to rent them out for a lot of money, and you're skirting the codes, it's shabby work. And I asked her, I said, you know, do you see this a lot? And she goes, absolutely. And it was kind of remarkable to see this sort of up front.
That's the world's Monica Campbell in Mexico City. Monica, thank you very much, and stay safe.
Thanks so much, Marco.